This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you don't get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, I would add a little line to the end of best available. I would say best available player that can help your quarterback. So I would be looking on the offensive side of the ball. And Ashton Jeanty, I have him as the number three player in the draft. So wow. If you're just going pure best available player, ooh, it'd be Jeanty. Hey. And if you're obviously looking on the offensive side of the ball, he would be the guy there from the offensive side of the ball standpoint. Yeah. So I just feel like that's got to help. Unless you can get Abdul Carter, like somehow Abdul Carter sure. Gets there, I get it. But man, like if you draft Travis Hunter, you play him at receiver. He helps Drake May. This first pick after a defensive heavy free agency, it just feels like, man, this has got to be a pick that's going to help Drake May.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, Daniel Jeremiah in the frat house yesterday with McAfee.
It's good stuff.
Very, very excited there about the idea of Ashton Jeanty to the Patriots at pick number four. We'll get into it on Jones and Keefe with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Now, you might be saying to yourself, hey, it's Tuesday. Where's Tommy Curran? I thought this was a Tommy Tuesday.
I'd say relax. We're getting there.
Chill the beans a little bit there.
Cool yourself down. We're going to talk to him.
We're going to talk to Tommy Curran at 12:30 today. Yeah. He had some podcast obligations, so he nicely asked if he could move to 12:30. We'll be talking to him at 12:30, so mark that down. Still a Tommy Tuesday, just a different time. You'll still get Kiefer Madness at 12:45 here on WEEI. The way that was asked to Daniel Jeremiah was, all right, Abdul Carter, gone. Travis Hunter, gone. You're on the clock at four. You're the New England Patriots. What do you do? His answer was Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
And his logic was, well, you need to get help for Drake May. I would say you're not just taking the best player available. You're taking the best player available, .. That helps a young quarterback. Ashton Jeanty is the guy. I agree with him. I've been saying that for a while. If those guys are gone, I would go with the running back. What are your thoughts on that approach, Keith?
So I think the offensive line being in the state that it is points you in the direction that should be what the pick is, or at the very least that would help Drake May more, right? If you want to answer it that way, because you're not just going from no running back or some scrub below media core running back. Like, Ramondre Stevenson needs to hold on to the ball, but we've seen flashes of him being capable.
He's a good back.
Stevenson and Gibson.
He's not a game changer, but he's a good back.
Yeah. And Jeanty has a chance to be a game changer. Yep. So I don't poo-poo the idea of drafting Ashton Jeanty, but I think if you're still starting Vidarian Lowe or DeAndre Jacobs or somebody like that at left tackle, and you're passing up a potential starting left tackle from day one, I think that's where you need to go. I would be much happier with a Ashton Jeanty pick if you were able to slide down and add something else to it. Hell, same with like Will Campbell. I'd be happy if you could slide down. But in this either or scenario, I think adding a running back to this team, you could still have the same issues where you're like, hey, you got Drake May and you got Ashton Jeanty now, but they're both getting hit 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage over and over and over again. So I would go with best hoss available. And for me, it's Will Campbell. You know, maybe they determine that it's Membu, or maybe they determine it's somebody else. But for me, I would go with Will Campbell, assuming he's a left tackle, and take him there and hope that Drake May, having a little time to live back there, would be the best thing for him.
So I would grant anybody out there, and I'm pro running back more than I think a lot of people are. Okay, obviously I'd take Ashton Jeanty at four. So I would say drafting a running back at four, admittedly, probably isn't the best business. It's not a game changing position. I'd acknowledge that. I think it's more important than most people do, but it's not a game changing position. So most years, is drafting a running back at four good business? No. Maybe you get Saquon or Zeke, and even those you can pick apart. Like, Saquon did not win a Super Bowl with the Giants. Zeke never won with the Cowboys. They had some good teams, never won anything. You also could get just a complete bust of a player in Trent Richardson in the top five. Leonard Fournette, you wouldn't have been happy with that draft
pick
either.
Also won somewhere else.
Good point. Yeah. Also won somewhere else. He did have one really good year in Jacksonville where they went to an AFC championship game. But I would agree it's not good business. Most years. What if I told you this year, there's no obvious wide receiver at four? Like, are you going to draft Tet McMillan at four?
I'm not.
There's no obvious left tackle at four either. Will Campbell might be a guard. You said, assuming he can play left tackle.
If he can't, and if they say, hey, he's really good, but he's a guard, I'm not doing that. I'm not taking any guard.
Right.
And people will throw, like, Quentin Nelson or Zach Martin in my face. I'm like, great, there's two examples. I'm not taking a guard in the first round. What if I said it when they took Cole Strange.
What if he's Brandon Scherff?
Yeah, I don't want him. I don't want him that high, right? If you trade down and whatever, and they're still there, then that's a different conversation. But at four, I'm not taking a guard.
Right.
Hell, I'm not sure I would take Travis Hunter at four if he only played one side. One of the reasons I love Travis Hunter so much is he plays both positions, and I think that he can play both positions. But in this case, if you told me the football people with the Patriots liked Membu, but they like him at right tackle, or they like Campbell, but they like him at guard, then I would take Jeanty.
Okay.
Or even Warren, or I would take somebody else.
You would go a different direction.
But if they're like, and maybe they're wrong, like they were with Isaiah Wynn, but if they're like, hey, this guy's a left tackle, give me that guy.
So the way to think about this question, because a lot of people, I think, just go, running back isn't worth it at four. You're probably right. Is a right tackle worth it at four? Because Membu might be a right tackle.
Right tackle more so than left guard.
Is a left guard worth it? Because that might be Will Campbell.
No.
Is a wide receiver who is considered more of a value pick in the 20s, is he worth overdrafting at four? So those are kind of your alternatives. I think maybe you like Mason Graham.
Okay.
Maybe you like Tyler Warren.
All right, so Will Campbell. So I already know you'd take Jeanty. So Will Campbell or Tet McMillan or whoever you think the best. You like Luther Burden. So whoever, what wide receiver in this draft.
So I'm low on Campbell, but I would take Campbell over those other receivers.
Got it. Okay.
You know, like I just, those guys, the value's not there.
I think that's where I would go. So I think we're flipped. I would go Campbell, Jeanty, wideout is how I'd probably prioritize it. Just because I think Jeanty has a better chance of being a great NFL player, even at that position, than really any of the receivers. None of the receivers, I don't really love them. And that's also why I like Travis Hunter so much, is because I think he is maybe the best receiver of the group and on top of the cornerback play.
I told you, the receiver I like the best is Luther Burden. Might not be a first-round pick.
Okay.
You know, now that doesn't mean he can't play. Ladd McConkey was a second-round pick last year.
Buyer's opportunity or sucker's best?
So I think it's buying opportunity. But I told you, that's the receiver I like best in the draft. We'll see where he eventually goes. I see him 50-50 mock outside of the first round versus in the first round. So it's not a good receiver class.
I kind of like the Miami receiver from the U, Restrepo.
Oh, yeah, before.
He ran a 4.8 3.40 at his pro day.
So I read that.
That is in quicksand.
I didn't watch the video. You watched the video, and you're like,
he's kind of laboring a little bit. Yeah, I mean, he finished the 40. He didn't have to stop. Like, he did finish the 40-yard dash. I'd still take him, but talk about buyer's opportunity. He could be picked. He might fall to, like, the fifth round now.
Yeah. Who was
not the
laboring?
Deep cut, but I would take him.
Who was laboring more? Me running down to get my live read or him?
I think Restrepo. Okay, I think he was. That's very nice. Productive.
You definitely ran faster.
That's nice that you said that.
You got there quicker.
I don't think you mean it, but that's nice that you said
that. No, they kind of have some intriguing non-first round guys. I love, you know, tiny little stick him in your pocket, Tez Johnson.
Yep.
I do like him.
You're a big fan. Also ran slow. Not that slow.
Slow and tiny. Yeah. And even like Jimmy Horn. Maybe just because I saw him play so many times, the other receiver with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter at Colorado. But those are all like late round guys. Like, I'm not going to, I don't think you can, outside of Hunter, again, different story, I'm not using a first round pick on any of the other wideouts.
Okay, so let me present this scenario to you. Because Keith, you said tucked in there, you would also consider moving down from four.
Yes,
which,
I would.
Which, look, I would too. Yeah. I would rather have Jeanty at 7 or 8 or even Tyler Warren at like 8, 9, 10. Than I would taking either one at four. And we're getting a bunch of texts about Tyler Warren. I like Tyler Warren. We're also getting a text saying, if Keith doesn't like a receiver in this draft,
good point,
then my God, there are no receivers.
How bad must they be?
Because you're like the number one top receiver guy.
I like all these guys.
So if Hunter and Abdul Carter are gone,
uh-huh.
and you're on the clock at four. And then we have the reporting today from Chad
Kraft.
Graf.
Yep.
And we've seen this reporting elsewhere as well. I think Karen Garigian at Mass Live had it. The Patriots aren't really finding partners to trade down because it's a bad draft. And maybe the Patriots are putting too much of a premium on that pick, and maybe this is posturing, or they're playing hardball through the media, and they eventually find a way to trade down. But the way it's kind of being presented by some of the local beat writers is they're not finding what they want in a trade back. They might be stuck at four.
So my hope would be...
So if it's not Hunter, it's not Carter, and you're stuck at four, you're going Campbell. I'd go Ashton Jeanty.
See, I don't know if both things are true, meaning like... Would you be stuck at four if the second quarterback is still available?
Well, stuck is relative. A caller pointed earlier, but it's like, would you be stuck in terms of what your asking price is? Maybe. Could you lower your asking price and then just hold your nose and move down? Sure.
So they screwed up week 18. They should have lost the game and picked first, and then this is all in their hands. But picking at four, I choose to look at it as one of two things, and they both could be positive. Either Hunter or Carter fall to four, or they both get grabbed, and then one team is like, oh, man, Shedeur Sanders is there at four. We don't have to trade that far up to get him. It's not like we're trading up to the number one pick or number two pick. So we're kind of within reach, and then you slide down to seven or nine, pick up another draft pick or two, and then maybe even still get the guys we're talking about. Maybe Jeanty, Warren, or Campbell, Membu, one of those guys, could still be there plus the extra picks. So I think... That's what I'd be looking for. Like, if they can't find a trade and then, you know, a quarterback goes like right after that, like that, then that's on them.
So a couple of things here, and you can jump in on all this. 617-779-7937. I guess Drake May was on with Kay Adams today. I'm just seeing this.
All right.
And he was asked about who the Patriots should take at pick four. And
is he allowed to answer that?
You tell me if we should read into this. He says, I think you take the best player that early. I think you take the best player available. So any of those guys, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth here, Keith.
Smart. Look at this guy.
So whoever wants to come play in New England and win some football games. Okay, well now it's like, now you've lost.
We're going to strap up the helmet and go out there and win some football games. Like, all right.
So interesting. Interesting.
So best player available.
That's Drake May is the best player available. He didn't say best hoss available. He's the best player available.
He didn't say that. But you know who also said best player available?
Hmm?
He's just echoing the Wolfpack at this point.
Good point.
That's what Elliot said.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's a lot to deduce from that answer, but yeah. Okay. Interesting stuff from Drake May with Kay Adams. You can jump in on the Patriots at four. What do you want him to do? We can get to that with Tommy Curran coming up at 12:30. We'll be sure to ask Tom about his latest at NBC Sports Boston. Are the Patriots cheap? The evidence he claims says no. I know what evidence he's using.
Yeah,
but I don't.
I feel like there's other evidence that would suggest the other side of it.
I feel like he's leaning heavy into his evidence and ignoring some other evidence. But yeah. We'll talk about that with Tom.
We'll see.
Coming up at 12:30.
They did spend money this offseason.
They absolutely did.
On defense.
If you're looking at a one-year snapshot, they spent money on one half of the football.
Defense.
This offseason.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I also want to update this, and maybe it's worth asking Curran about it.
Okay.
Tom Brady had a post on TomBrady.com.
Come on. No way.
Titled,
is that for real?
Titled My Thoughts on Free Agency. So, you know, he has this whole long entry. I'm skipping to the reflection section, Keith. He says, I was only involved in free agency once.
TomBrady.com.
I didn't know that was the thing either. Who was the caller who called in? This is to the old afternoon show. He called in and he had a whole website. It was Tom.com.
Tom.com.
Tom versus Bill. He's like, it was Tom.com. He was like Uncle Oscar.
Tom Brady in context. .com.
I'm trying to remember who that was. Damn it. But anyway, he says, I was only involved in free agency once at the tail end of my career. And when free agency means something very different than it does for a backup coming off a disappointing season or a guy coming off the last year of his rookie deal. Got it, Tom.
Yeah.
For me, it was a creeping decision that lived passively in the back of my mind for 2 or 3 years. Okay, so he was gone in March 2020.
So would you say that was the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles?
Yeah, maybe.
Where it began?
I mean, maybe these are his words, not ours. But
I'm
it
just
was
guessing.
It was living passively in the back of his mind for 2 or 3 years. It was a creeping decision for 2 or 3 years going into March 2020.
Because that lines up more with the Eagles Super Bowl and the Malcolm Butler benching than it would be the Jimmy Garoppolo draft, which was in 14.
Correct.
So he didn't say this. He's been thinking about this for 6 years.
But in fairness, it also lines up with a win over the Rams in 2018. So how distracted could you really be?
Yeah, but I think he was pissed. I think he was beyond pissed after the 17 Super Bowl.
He says, a whirlwind few days made me realize the decision was coming sooner rather than later.
And
in
then
March
also the contract beef too.
Yep.
Like at that point, like, hey,
go talk to
Robert. I just won the Super Bowl, maybe like another 2 years. And they're like, nah.
Yeah, go talk to Mr. Kraft.
Wasn't he already talking to the Dolphins at that point?
Also, good point.
Could be.
He says the reality was, I don't think he wrote about that. The reality was, after 20 years together, a natural tension had developed between where Coach Belichick and I headed in our careers and where the Patriots were moving as a franchise. It was the kind of tension.
Yeah. Yeah, go on.
That could only be resolved.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. By some kind of split. Or one of us reassessing our priorities. Tension.
Tension.
Yep. Needed a split.
Yep.
And our priorities. So when Tampa came into the picture, Brady writes at TomBrady.com, a website I was unfamiliar with.
/post/my thoughts on free agency, if you're looking for it.
When Tampa came into the picture
as
a serious option for me, all I did over those few days in March was assess and reassess my priorities. I asked myself, as someone headed into their 40s with school-age kids and 20 years worth of battle scars, what truly mattered to me now. And what I ended up with was a list of about 20 things that I ranked and graded on a weighted scale from 1 to 3.
1 to 3? I think so, you just broke the scale.
Yeah, you're, what's the?
Six on the hashtag Dork
one
Podcast.
One to six on the Dork Podcast?
For Infinity Stones. So 1 to 10, I've heard. I've also heard of just like a pros, cons. You know when people are starting a new job?
Yes.
Hey, pros, cons.
Way
closer
out the pros,
to home.
Way
less
out the
money.
Cons,
this kind of thing. The hours are flexible. So he goes 1 to 3. 3 being like, this is great. 1 being this stinks.
Correct.
Okay.
20 items.
20 items?
He says, for instance, he gets
Team Plane? Is one of them?
We don't see the full thing.
Okay.
Team Plane might have been.
Okay.
We don't see the full breakdown, but he does include a few. He says the presence of skill players was a 3 in terms of importance. For example, and the Bucks graded out as a 3 because of guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Okay.
He said the same was true for the head coach.
Wait, what?
That was a 3 in importance, and Tampa scored a 3 with Bruce Arians. So the implication is...
Is that a tiebreaker over Bill? Bruce Arians?
He says Arians was a 3. He does not list Bill's grade, but so, I'm guessing it wasn't a 3.
No, probably not. Well, at this point, it wasn't.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, he was right.
With the tension and everything else. The roster was a 3. He doesn't say what that was for the Patriots. He says game day weather was a 2, but practice weather, 3.
What a weird list of things.
He wanted to practice in nice weather, Keith.
One of the greatest cold weather quarterbacks of all time is like game day weather, 2.
Yeah.
So what does that even mean? Like, what the hell?
Here you go. Now, this is nonsense.
Okay.
Financial compensation, he admits, was on the list,
thank
obviously.
God. Thank you, Tom. You're just like us.
But it wasn't first.
Oh.
And it probably, I think that word's doing a lot. It probably wasn't even in the top 10.
So wait, each
And it thing... definitely didn't rank a 3 in importance.
Wait, so each thing was ranked 1, 2, or 3.
Yes.
But then each thing was also ranked itself.
Apparently.
Wow.
It's quite a...
Listen, that's why he's Tom Brady and we're not.
It's like an advanced matrix is what
that
it
is. That is good stuff. Next time I have a major life decision, I think I might
20
break
items.
20 items, 1 through 3, and then also rank the items. And then see where I land.
And mine is just...
Yes or no?
I just rank money.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Money. Is it more than this? Okay, I'll do this.
Money and like maybe vacation time?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Flex days?
Yeah, well, those...
How do you weigh flex days?
That's a great question. You're supposed to get unlimited, but who knows? In the end, I chose Tampa almost 5 years ago because in the aggregate, it graded out higher than New England along those 20 or so dimensions. It's not much more complicated than that.
All right, so we really only got 3 or 4 of the dimensions,
yep.
if you will.
Yep.
And so it was skill players, coach, and weather.
Yep. And so, money was somewhere on the list, not in the top 10.
Yeah, so money wasn't important. But so if you're just looking at skill positions, it wasn't even close at this point in time. Obviously, Tampa had the better one.
What do you
weather
think?
Weather is not really fair.
Right.
And then so if Belichick isn't going to win a coach battle versus Arians, this thing wasn't even close then.
What do you think he graded? If Arians got a 3, which he writes, what do you think he graded Bill?
0.
1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, done
right,
with it.
One at the highest.
Like done with it.
Yeah.
He was obviously done. And I think he doesn't get into this, but I wonder if it was also like great. I wonder if the Patriots were really even being compared at this point. Wouldn't it be more like Bucks and Chargers or whatever the rumors were, Bucks Dolphins, like whatever the rumors were? Because I think he was also really surprised about how few teams were interested in him.
Oh, yeah.
So once he heard the Bucks were interested, it might have just been a done deal even before this exercise.
So to me, like, this should just get thrown in everybody's face who's like, nah, Brady and Bill, it was fine. That's all nothing. That's a media creation. All these things. See, they're good now.
Well, I was going to say,
Bill was at the roast
and
Bill was at Brady night.
Right.
You guys are making something out of nothing. Like, Brady just told you the tension's why he left. And he also told you he likes Bruce Arians better than Bill.
It's bizarre.
Huh.
I mean, the game day weather and the practice weather.
I don't think it's huge news for anybody who actually followed this and wasn't just like sticking their fingers in their ears, Patriots fans.
No, but what it's been is for the last 5 years, it's been a lot of people, fans, media, whatever, kind of speculating and talking about stuff. And then when you see Tom Brady actually go to TomBrady.com. And write this whole thing out.
Take the time to write this entry.
Because even in all his different like podcast appearances and everything else he's done and like games, like he doesn't really get into this. And they do kind of gloss over a lot of stuff and just sort of talk about like the happy times, which is fine. That's their right to do. But then when he gets into the decision making and why he chose the Bucks, like that's newsworthy.
Okay. TomBrady.com if you want to read the full entry.
For the rest of the stuff.
I thought that was
the newsletter.
The juiciest part. Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It is a Tom E. Tuesday.
Woo!
Tommy Curran, I think, still doing some last-minute prep. Coming in to defend his take today.
Well, I appreciate the take because it's not one that you hear often.
Are the Patriots cheap? Question mark. The evidence, he claims, says no.
Not cheap. So just real quick, because I will present this to Tom.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure he'll have numbers to come back at us.
Uh-huh.
This is a real stat, right? The last 10 years... They're last in cash spending.
Yeah, well, hang on.
You sure about that?
Hang on.
Hold on.
Mike Reese wrote this in January of 2024. Okay, he does cite this in the story.
Okay.
Mike Reese wrote that they were, yes, dead last in cash spending.
So last of all the NFL teams.
From, 2014 on.
And that's just on the roster. That's not about the weight room and the planes and the childcare and all the other stuff where they rank towards the bottom in the NFLPA as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But... the answer might surprise you. They're actually not cheap.
Well, again, we're waiting. Curran already moved from noon. We're still waiting here.
We got to pin him down and ask him about
these. So he says, are the Patriots cheap? The evidence says no. Then he lists some evidence.
All right, let's hear it.
Really would tell you. He says, are the Patriots cheap? The prevailing opinion is that, yes, they are traditionally tight with a buck.
Okay.
He says there are charts and tables to back it up.
Yeah, right.
It includes a Reddit post from 2023 where the Patriots are actually, I believe, 34. First, since Robert Kraft took over the team
in 1994.
Not last.
Although,
from 94 to 2023, they were 31st out of 32 teams.
But in 1994, there was not 32 teams.
Also a good point. Great point. Nice point, Keith. Hadn't thought about that. Then he writes, more traditional sources like the estimable Mike Reese pointed out last offseason the Patriots were 32nd in cash spending over the previous 10 years.
Okay.
Okay, he says the conversation, understandably, drives owner Robert Kraft absolutely bat crap. And he cites a quote from Kraft. So interesting. But, like, I don't know. Call me crazy. I might stop the column right there. Like, I might be like, that's enough evidence.
So keep going. Keep doing
where it. I'm gonna cut that out. Now, he goes on to detail that they spent a lot of money in 2021. They spent a lot of money on half of the football this year.
Yeah, they did.
They actually spent more than you would... realize maybe on bringing back their own guys a year ago. Like I specifically crapped on the 2024 offseason quite a bit. I didn't like it. I didn't like the approach. They were just bringing back all the bums on the team from a year ago. I think I was vindicated on that, but they did actually spend a decent amount of money bringing those guys back.
Right.
So if you look at a snapshot of, I guess, like the last 5 years, maybe you could make a case they're spending a little more money, but I don't know. I still think that's not a hill I personally would die on.
No, it seems like it's been quite the opposite. We're waiting for them to spend money because Robert Kraft kind of put it on Bill Belichick. That's last year, right? Last year at this time, he was saying, you know, there was actually times I wanted to spend more money on a player. And like Bill said no. So it was all about Bill. Bill loved value. And you're like, all right, maybe. And then year one with Mayo, there was no new outside guys. You're right. They re-signed some of their own guys. And that was pretty... lackluster for a lot of us, but they weren't spending at the top of the league, and that was just another down year as far as cash spending was concerned. So no, you're gonna need a few more years where you are a big player in this and not even the number one spender. Like, just get out of the basement. Like, just move up the ladder a little bit.
So he goes on to detail that in that time span they've spent to 99% of the cap. I would question, and we can ask this to Tom, but like, how much of that money is even real? We looked into the Milton Williams contract and the structure and like, so.
But that is all kind of nonsense, right? Like, I think it's pretty clear for most football fans how nonsense that is. And I understand there is a certain point where you can't have every single player at whatever price you want. Like, there is technically some kind of restriction on it. But, like, the headline last week was the Chiefs restructured Mahomes and Chris Jones. They didn't take a pay cut.
Yeah, you can blow the cap spending out of the water.
They restructured those two, and it created $50 million in cap space.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do the like the snazzy restructure or whatever, and then you're like, see, we're spending at the top of the league cap-wise, but the true cash goes back to, if you're calling somebody cheap or not, it's how much did you spend on your team compared to the other owners in the league. And if you're consistently at the bottom of that, I don't think most fans are going to say, well, they're up at the cap.
And even so, let's say they're spending more than we even realize at the cap, Keith, and we give them the benefit of the doubt there. Well, what about the NFLPA survey with their practice facility, the family rooms that they finally got to last year, the crummy airplanes? Like, what about all that?
No, I know. That all adds, like, that's all part of it.
That does not help the perception of whether or not they spend on their team.
No.
Curran also uses this as a citation for why they get an excuse for not spending in the 10 years Mike Reese cited. He says one of the primary reasons the Patriots were able to keep cash flow relatively low for most of the 2010s was Brady's annual acceptance of below market deals. And it's like,
yeah, I don't think that really proves the point, though, because that's sort of saying, all right, if you're fortunate enough to have the greatest quarterback of all time not ask for top dollar, then shouldn't you have spent it on other guys to help him?
Well, and I do think that's some of Tom's logic, and we can ask him about it here. I would just say, well, why were they even bothering playing that game with him where they're like, hey, take less, we'll get you more, meaning around you.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of cheaping out on a contract. So Tommy Curran joining us now from NBC Sports Boston. Tom, we detailed a lot from your column. Again, are the Patriots cheap? The evidence, according to you, says no. Do you want to defend that in your own words, or you want to start with some questions?
No, that's fine. You know, I think you guys are getting lost in the weeds because I've challenged just one of the thumb-sucking things that you're going to have to lean on at all times. And the bigger point is not to really litigate the past 22 years, it's to look at what's going on right now. Yeah, they were 32nd in spending. Yes, they would take guys for 4 years, a Logan Mankins, they'd give him a deal, or a Vince Wilfork, they'd give him a deal, and then they'd want to push away from the table. They spent their money on Gronk, but eventually they had secured him to such a long-term contract, he was kicking and screaming by the end. You know, whether it be Tlaib or Revis, they would spend, but they would get out on guys. But that's part of the reason that their spending stayed so low. They wouldn't re-up guys. But again, that's relitigating something that's not really germane to what's going on right now. My observation was based on looking at the comments from Milton Williams, the comments from Jason Light regarding Chris Godwin, where one team was putting blank checks out there to try and bring Godwin in. So why are the Patriots like this now? What's changed? And what's changed is they have been so inept for so long in the draft, they don't have anybody getting the second contracts. They don't have a left tackle who they've given a massive contract with guaranteed money to. They don't have a corner. They overspent on Carlton Davis to try and burn cash. Last year, they tried to burn cash on their own players with questionable contracts to Barmore, Duggar, Onwenu, questionable, but you know what I'm saying. They spent a lot of money on guys who've never been to Pro Bowls. So the bigger point isn't to relitigate whether or not they were cheap. The spending now, 2021 included, indicates that they are paying through the nose. So that's the bigger point here. And I know that you guys don't want that to go away. And I know that you're petrified.
Well, I mean, there is obviously a desperate times call for desperate measures deal with the Patriots having to overspend on guys right now. But on top of dead last in cash spending for the last 10 years, what about the other stuff that doesn't show up in, like, the roster payroll? You know, having a horrible weight room, having, you know, ranking towards the bottom of the NFLPA survey year after year with the planes and all that other stuff. Doesn't that also sort of factor into how maybe players around the league and even fans view the whole operation down there?
I mean, when I'm sitting down to do the story, it was more relative to spending on players. How are they now spending on players contractually? What caught my eye were the comments from Williams, from Light, from Godwin, the amount of money they spent. So if you want to go into, you know, my having the headline, are the Patriots cheap? No. was more geared towards talking about player spending. The point you're making, yeah, it's, stuff counts. Mm-hmm. I would say that we're 14 months removed from Bill, who threw pennies around like manhole covers, and the Crafts probably celebrated that because he really brought them to heel, because the way they spent in the late 90s was nuts. But Bill brought them to heel, and Bill, I think, you know, as a guy who was doing every job and making $25 million a year, which is probably twice as much as anybody else, in justifying that, he would keep the cost down. And that included things like, do we really need this ridiculous state-of-the-art weight room over there across in the Cross Insurance building? Can't we just do one here? Matt knows how to design one of these things. Let's just do that. The plane, I mean, I have no explanation and defense for the Ash trades. Hopefully they're clean.
So, I'm sorry, Tom, keep going.
But no, I'm babbling, but I guess I'm trying to redirect it to the spending now and what it means for this team, because they have, because they keep rolling money forward, Adam, they have a massive, their cap is way bigger than anybody else's in the league. They rolled $35 million into this year. They're not going to hit it. They still have $80 million of cap space. Even if they give $30 million in cash this year to Stephon Diggs, they're going to roll more into next year. So they
because they didn't spend it. And so they didn't spend it, so now they roll over the savings. Like, they had the most cap space this year, and they didn't spend all of it. Now they're rolling over more savings to next year. And
why do they have the cap spends?
Well, you tell me. I think your answer would be guys don't want to sign here. Is that part of it?
Well, because their wide receiver, N'Keal Harry, sucked. He didn't get a second contract. Their left tackle, Isaiah Wynn, sucked. He didn't get a second contract. Their quarterback, Drake May, who would probably have been entering a period where he would be making money, was not good. You can name all the cornerbacks that they've signed that didn't work out. Your edge guys. All of those guys are the ones who bring in the big money, all those positions. Corner, edge, left tackle, quarterback, wide receiver. You know, those guys are the ones who they should be paying a ton to. Bill didn't want to pay an extra million for Jacoby Myers. So he brings in Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju Smith-Schuster can't play here. So he goes someplace else. Devontae Parker can't play here. So the money they should be spending on players that they acquired so that they can stay here isn't happening. That's why they literally can't spend the money. And now you got guys like
you could have spent it on Devontae Adams or Cooper Kupp or guys. I mean, there were wide receivers you could have spent on. You could have traded for DK Metcalf or Laremy Tunsil. Like, there were guys you could have spent on. They just chose not to.
Correct. And I think that they started with, and that's why they talked about option A's, B's, and C's. Their option A was Godwin, Ronnie Stanley, and Milton Williams. We're going to go. We're going to get these guys. They didn't do it. Then they go in on Metcalf, which Phil did a good job of reporting that never was an offer made. I kind of, in talking to you guys, made it sound more like they were never in on him. I've come to find out that they were. It was more of a DK Metcalf. They had conversations. An offer was not made. That's correct. But I've kind of been redirected from folks outside of New England that they were in on him. They were trying to make, he didn't want to come here. So they were in on these guys, but there was kind of a sliding scale. But, you know, you're right. You want those guys don't necessarily want to come here, so you have to pay through the nose to try and make it happen. And maybe even then, they still don't want to come here. So we'll see what happens with a guy like Diggs, who I think introduced himself to say, I'm not getting anything here. Why don't I just go to New England, and then I'll put a bunch of workout videos out there so that I can start to, you know, jumpstart my market.
I still feel like DK Metcalf probably didn't want to go to Pittsburgh initially and then ended up there and signed in a big deal. But as for Diggs, if they don't get Stephon Diggs,
What was the drive-by there? I don't get that.
What do you mean the drive-by?
He didn't want to go to Pittsburgh?
You think he wanted to go to Pittsburgh? You said he didn't want to go to New England, so they stopped looking into him. Do you think he wanted to go to Pittsburgh?
Well, if you have two on the table, you're going to make a choice between one or the other. It seems as if he would have preferred that.
Yeah, but Seattle's also has to trade him.
Right. And if you have two teams who are interested in dealing for him,
I'd take the better contract personally, but yeah.
Wouldn't you take the more money and Seattle would probably take the higher pick?
Yeah, maybe they tried to do him a solid.
So I don't know. And then like Cooper Kupp, I was, you know, maybe they're worried about the injury, but Cooper Kupp, if they ended up not getting traded at all, and then you could have negotiated a deal with them there and, you know, throw him a sixth, seventh round pick, something along those lines. And then as for Diggs, do you think that's going to come down to health or money or what? Because Diggs might not have a whole list of teams lining up for him. So he could be right there for the Patriots to sign.
Exactly. And that's where you have to work on that sliding scale of what will we tolerate? Not just in the what will we tolerate in our huddle, but what will we tolerate in terms of how many games will Stephon Diggs play in 2025? If he's going to play 10 games and you're paying him $15 million prorated, that's a ton of money. But also, if you're looking at having to roll over $40 million in cap space after rolling over $35 this year, at some point the rubber meets the road. I guess the other aspect of this, too, that's interesting, guys, is the CBA says that in every 3 years, and it ends in 2026, a team has to spend at least 90% in cash of what their cap is. And I don't know where the Patriots are at the moment, but the previous time in 2021 through 2023, they spent 99.8% of their cap. Right now, they probably have a lot of work to do to get to 95%. Never mind 90. We have to spend money. Do we just do it? They're pinched in is really what is going on. They're not cheap right now for a very good reason. They can't be by rule.
Real quick, and we'll cut this off in a second. I think we mostly agree to disagree.
Longer.
But when it comes to that 99% number you referenced from 21 to 24, do you have this at your fingertips? Where did that rank in the league? I know they spent the 99%.
I don't have that.
So where I'm just curious on what that rank would be.
I don't have that. I did so much freaking math for this stupid story.
A lot of numbers.
I'm an English major, but their adjusted cap number for like that period of time was, let me find it. Their adjusted cap number was they had to spend $638.4 million to the cap. That's their rollover and adjustment. They spent $637.1 million. I don't know where that relates. It's probably middle of the pack.
Okay.
The reason being, it's hard to spend more cash when you're not giving out those massive bonuses, the guaranteed money that a Patrick Mahomes or a Tyreek Hill or an A.J. Brown or somebody gets. It's hard to spend the cash when you're not giving out, as they just did with Milton Williams, a $51 million signing bonus guaranteed cash. And they really didn't do that from 21 through 23. So when you look at it, they're certainly not
one
near the floor. They're spending what they're supposed to spend by rule. I don't know where they are relative to the rest of the league in percentage.
Okay. Well, you can check out the latest from Tommy Curran. Are the Patriots cheap? The evidence says no. NBC Sports Boston. You can check them out all over TV as well as WEEI Afternoons on Thursday. Tommy, we appreciate the time on a Tommy Tuesday. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Sorry I was late. Thanks.
All good.
Tommy Curran.
Talk to you next week.
Joining us here each and every Tuesday on a Tom E. Tuesday. We also have a Kiefer Madness for you coming up next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. Inside radio, clock's a little off right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to move Kiefer Madness back just a touch.
All good.
We went long there with Curran.
Yeah.
Let's move Kiefer Madness to one. Can we do that?
We can absolutely do that. We have a good Madness for you today. And so we'll do that. Give it a little bit more time to breathe. So we'll do that coming up. We have gotten a lot of people curious if after that last interview, Tom Curran's going to go the way of Andrew Raycroft, which I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I've known Curran a long time. We can have disagreements, and I think he will be back at his normal time next week. I don't think he's going to tuck tail and go to a different show.
I
don't think so.
Well, he also already does WEEI Afternoons.
Oh, good point.
So, like, he's just on there twice?
Yes.
Razor style.
It could be Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I just think we disagree
on this thing. It's fine. Yeah.
And so I just think if this is the excuse, maybe excuse isn't even right. He's right. Are the Patriots spending more the last 2 years and three out of the last five? Yep. Okay, fine. So maybe they have changed. But I was about to ask him before I got a little sidetracked with some of the DK Metcalf stuff and how there was nobody to actually pay in free agency. What I was going to ask him is, do you think John Henry's cheap? And if he would answer that truthfully and not be like, well, I don't really cover the Red Sox, I think most of us view John Henry as he's been cheap. But there are examples I can come up with about spending on Bregman and spending on Devers. And like, I could play that game where it's like, well, how cheap are they when they're spending on player X, Y, and Z? And oh, by the way, they are totally going to pay Garrett Crochet and they're totally going to pay Roman Anthony, which is kind of what we're doing with the Patriots. Like, oh, they're going to pay Drake May and they're going to pay Christian Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of that's predictive. Let's deal with the numbers we really have, which was for a decade they were dead last in spending. And oh, by the way, they suck in the NFLPA survey. So, all right, maybe they're responding to that a bit, but it's way too early to make a call on that.
Yeah, no, it is. There's just been some guys that you wonder when you hear some of the different excuses as to why they're not in on receivers. And it never says money, but it's like fit in the system, or this player doesn't want to come here, or this guy's coming off an injury, and you're like,
so make them want to come here.
Right, you're going to be left with nobody, and you're paying everybody nothing, right? Like, Mac Hollins is getting nothing, and then you have a bunch of guys on rookie deals. That's the wide receiver room, which can be one of the highest paid rooms outside of quarterback in football today. And they're not doing it, and they're not getting, like, before they could kind of get by because Edelman had such crazy production for a guy getting paid what he was getting paid. And even like Welker and Moss, even when they gave Moss a raise, he wasn't really getting what other receivers probably could have been getting. They've like never paid that position. And that was under Bill, that was under Mayo, and that seems to be under Vrabel right now too.
So at first they didn't want DK Metcalf because he was a bad fit in the room. But then it turns out, actually, no, that wasn't it at all. They did want Metcalf.
But Metcalf didn't want them.
Metcalf didn't want them.
Because famously was a free agent.
So this is what we started to hear.
No, he was not.
This is what we started to hear. And this isn't just current. It's so they didn't spend for 10 years because Bill was here and Brady took less, and Bill didn't want to pay anybody and didn't draft well. So since Bill left, I guess, they want to spend more. We'll see.
But you can't also put
But then when you want to spend more, there's a bunch of guys who don't even want to come here.
Yeah.
But I would cite like Carlton Davis as an example of make a guy come here.
I was going to say Carlton Davis and Milton Williams came here.
Way overshoot the market and
Matt
pay
Judon
them.
Came here. Jonnu Smith came here. Now that was a bust, but he came here. Hunter Henry came here. And that was a big free agent class.
And you could say that as an example of how they spend, I guess. Yeah. But what I would say is, well, you made all those guys come here. Make DK Metcalf want to come here over Pittsburgh. Or make Davante Adams want to come here over the Rams or Cooper Kupp or whatever.
You can't run it the same way when you're not a Super Bowl favorite every year. So if you want to get a guy, whether it's your own guy, like, you know, Devin McCourty or Dante Hightower or Gronk or whatever, or somebody from the outside, like a Steph Gilmore, whoever across the board, if you're trying to say, listen, we still need to get our value, all right, you might still win some of those tiebreakers. Guys might still want to play here, but they won't now. And also, I'm like everybody else, Belichick did not do a great job in the last however many years drafting. However, to put all of this on that, when last year the only people Elliott Wolf re-signed were guys that Bill drafted, like you can't have that one both ways. Like, oh, he was a disaster drafting. True. But then last offseason, you gave Mike Onwenu a big deal. You gave Kyle Duggar. You gave Rhondre Stevenson. You gave Christian Barmore. Like, these were all dudes that were drafted recently by Bill.
Those were Bill guys.
Yeah.
And you paid all them. So if you want to take credit for paying all those were all guys Bill drafted.
Those were his. Those
or at minimum, brought in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I mean, maybe Tom will be proven to be right. In 5 or 10 years, we'll go, oh, look, that was a down period, and they're going to spend again. And maybe. I personally think it's way too early to call that. But again, you can check out his latest NBC Sports Boston. You can hear the full interview. I mean, it's a good disagreement and back and forth on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You'll hear Curran every Tuesday, normally at high noon, on Tommy Tuesdays here on Jones and Keefe. All right, we'll get to the madness. Kiefer madness, we promise, next.